The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord. "For the love of God," my mother would say when we did something without thinking. And then cleanup followed to correct our mess. There would be the required sitting in a chair for quiet time of reflection on what went wrong. And I confess I did not agree with her judgments and wallowed in indignation. But I did reflect on that claim, "for the love of God." God's love seemed to have no part in this. Why in the world was Mom upset if God's love was involved? I didn't get it, but dared not challenge Mom's assessment when she was mad. But years later, however, I gradually understood what was behind that exclamation. Mom yelled, "for the love of God," to keep from saying something worse. It was only exclamation in a moment of exasperation, and yet the Holy Spirit was saying more than Mom realized. Her exclamation was not so much about what we did to spur her anger, but about her own responsibility as parent and protector. For the love of God, she held back the punishment we were fully due. For the love of God, she graciously gave another measure of patience. For the love of God, she continued to care and love even while dealing correction. The Gospel according to John, from which we read a part a few minutes ago, devotes 5 chapters, a quarter of the entire book, to just one night in the life of Jesus. It is the night before he was arrested and killed. For 4 chapters, Jesus teaches his closest disciples about what is church and how to continue once he's gone. And then in this 17th chapter is one last long prayer. And our reading this morning is the very last part of that prayer, the very last thing Jesus wants to say to God, the most important thing Jesus wants to get across. And then in the next verses, Jesus is arrested and his ministry is over. These last verses of this last prayer is Jesus praying for God to protect this small band of followers, for God to be with them, for God to be in them, for God to make them not only a fellowship of friends, but the very embodiment of God herself. And the Gospel of John declares something no other book does so explicitly, that God, the holy and divine and almighty, has entered the world in person and has become part of you and me in person. The Gospel of John begins In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and through him all things were made, and without him was not made anything, was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And it goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we have beheld his glory. God has come into the world, has become human, God Almighty in flesh, for us to see and cheer on. And I can hardly fathom the significance of this, and barely have courage to utter what sounds blasphemous. God became mortal. And then Jesus prays to God, so that they may be one as we are at one, I and them, and you and me. Jesus prays that God come into us. In the final act of history, God comes into creation and becomes part of creation, joining us for a final act of breaking down all barriers and making right. Why? To what purpose? Why would God bother? And in verse 23, so that the world may know that you have loved them even as you have loved me. For the love of God, our Lord and Creator, comes. And because of love, God would give anything and everything to be part of us. Jesus prayed, I made your name known to them, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. God's love has come into us, and Jesus as love is now within us. For the love of God is both exclamation of exasperation and his statement of God's motivation for acting in history and in the world. Still, there is a third way to understand this phrase. For the love of God, we want to do what is right and lovely. Because of love from God, we respond with acts of kindness and compassion, just as Trey mentioned earlier in his sermon. Our motivation is not to get something in return or to prove our goodness and worth. Our motivation is simply expressing the love of God that is now within us. But God adds a twist at this point. We return God's love, but not to God directly. As we receive love from God, God turns us around and sends us to love others. You heard about people pulling up to a Starbucks drive-thru, placing an order, only to find that the customer in the car ahead of them has already paid for the coffee of the stranger behind. Well, that's how God's love works. We receive free coffee. We can't thank the one ahead, for they have already pulled out and drove away. And so we find someone else to bless. Because of the love we receive from God, we love and bless someone else. For the love of God, we pass it on. And that is the point of this prayer by Jesus. Verse 21, so that the world may believe. And verse 23, so that the world may know. Just before today's gospel verses, Jesus said, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. For the love of God for this world, God has come to us and into us and become part of us so that we might be God's love for others. Our behavior and our identity as Christian reveal God to those who have not knowingly experienced God. Our kindness and our forbearance and our patience and our confidence and our even-handedness bear the Spirit of God for those who have known only criticism and abuse and isolation. It's not just about being good people. It's about being the very presence of God through who we are. The scandal of Christianity is that Jesus is now in us. God is embodied in us. For the love of God for this world, we are made like Christ and sent as Christ. What others see in us may be all they know of God. For the love of God is exclamation, declaration of God's passion, and is our response as God's people to others. And yet there is a fourth way to understand this claim for the love of God. For the love of God, people simply express joy in art and song. The church word for this is praise, but it is simply expressing joy for the beauty and goodness we experience, clapping your hands in joy and thanks for the beauty and for after a marvelous choir anthem or a solo is most appropriate. It is praise to God and thanks to people. For the love of God, we praise beauty. My mother was a painter and a sculptor who did serious work when she had time from the office job at the school and raising kids. But in her later years, when she shucked formality, her art turned toward whimsy and fun and toys and ornaments. And one of the toys she made is this one. It's a hand puppet, an old-fashioned kind of hand puppet, and it is something that she gave us to play with. Hello, all you fine people out there. It's so nice to see you. And hey, you handsome fellow, good to see you too. Well, thank you. Now get on with the story. It's fun to play with her toys. For the love of God, driving her from within, she made this whimsical stuff to delight friends and children. For the love of God, pushing forth from within soul, people paint and photograph and sing and compose, and carve and arrange and decorate and cook. My neighbors across the street from us have been fixing up their flower beds these last few weeks. For the love of God welling up within, they cannot help but be outdoors and bring beauty to their yard. I have friends who bake cakes, decorate cakes. They taste great, look beautiful, ornate, frilly flowered, but they decorate cakes out of sheer delight in making a thing of beauty. For the love of God erupting from creative souls, they make things of beauty. Now, non-believers will say such joy and creativity is not unique to Christians, and that non-Christians can love just as intensely and wonderfully. Yes, God bless them. God does not wait for any decision to believe or wait for us to make some kind of action or for God to act through us. God's love is driven, floods over our sandbag doctrines, is effusive and free and flowing and fun. God delights in whatever religious language gives God praise. God holds the hands of children drawing with crayons. God splashes with whales. God paints the skies at sunset. God bursts buds into flowers and sprinkles about bugs and bees. For the love of God cannot be contained in our Christian creeds. And yet Christians, people of God, are appointed and set forth to express the Holy Spirit of God within. We, people of God, are appointed and set forth to care for God's creation and to witness to God's loving kinship with this world. For the love of God pours into this world. For the love of God creates and cares continually. For the love of God is the source of every beauty and good. For the love of God has come into you and calls you. For the love of God sends us to be good people and stable influence in this lovely world that needs hope and healing. So, for the love of God. Amen. Let us sing.